Luke chapter 24. Father, we thank you that even as we've received the communion elements, Lord, we ask now that revelation knowledge would flow through the bread of your word. Lord, I pray that today lives would be touched and changed as the Holy Spirit ministers. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said,
Amen.
Luke chapter 24, and I want to share a message with you entitled, You Can Start Again. You Can Start Again. As I meditated on today's meaning, the Resurrection Sunday, there are so many lessons, there are so many angles that we could come from. I think about the amazing, really supernatural things that occurred when Jesus died and also when He was raised from the dead. The skies were darkened at the cross. When He was raised from the dead, the earthquake that occurred at the resurrection, the stone that was rolled away. So many miraculous things, but I'll tell you what I've decided to focus on. I've decided to focus on Peter. Because in every one of us, there's a little bit of Peter. Peter's the guy who messed up. Peter's the guy who said, I'll never deny you, and he ended up denying Jesus three times. And in this story, I'm going to point out some things that regard specifically Peter. And the theme that I'm drawing out is that Peter had the opportunity to start again. And folks, if Easter means anything, if Resurrection Sunday means anything, it means that we can start again. Regardless of how we've messed up, regardless of our background, we can make a new start by the power of His resurrection. Luke 24, verse 1 says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came. Well, you wonder who they are. You go up a couple of verses to verse 55 in the previous chapter, and it says the women. Everybody say the women. Oh, thank God for the women. The women were at the cross. The women were the first ones at the tomb. And all the men said, Help me, Jesus. Verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And we know from another account, it's not mentioned here, but we know in another account there was a great earthquake and an angel rolled the stone away. Verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. We know these were angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Could we say that out loud? He is not here, he is risen. Thank God he was raised from the dead. And they began to remind them of what Jesus had plainly said, but as is so often the case, people, I think, tend to spiritualize some of the sayings of Jesus, and no doubt the disciples had spiritualized this whole thing of crucifixion and death, not realizing it was going to literally be that way. Verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must first be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. But their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now I want you to closely look at verse 12. I see something in verse 12 regarding Peter. I see a glimmer of hope. I see a man who knows he messed up. And suddenly he's running. Maybe he is raised from the dead. Maybe I could tell him I'm sorry. Maybe I could make things right. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. We know from another account that Peter was running with John. And in John's account, we won't take time to turn there, but John has to add this. He says, And the other disciple did outrun Peter. Little bit of ego there. For all the world to know forever and ever, John has recorded that he ran the foot race and he won it. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at what was come to pass. Go with me now to John's account, if you would, and let's go to chapter 20, 21. Let's go over that way. fact, we've got time. I'm going to read John's account of part of what we just saw. John 20, verse 1. Similar story, some additional details. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runs and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples. So, and again, and I believe it's Matthew's account, the angel said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Oh, hallelujah. He said, "And Peter. Peter, you're not beyond hope. Peter, you messed up, but you can start again." And Jesus has instructed the angels, be sure and include Peter. Verse 2. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which of course was John, the writer, and saith unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." The reality still has not dawned on them. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And here's his humble statement. The other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and as typical Peter fashion, went into the sepulchre, and sees the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin. Everyone say the napkin. Now, if you've never had instruction on this, or I know when we were in Israel, we got to see what they say was the tomb. But the way they prepared Jesus' body is they wrapped him in a shroud, all except his face. And the face had a napkin placed over it, a cloth placed specifically over the face. It's very possible that when they looked in, they saw the cocoon-like wrapping still in its place, not unwrapped, but still in its place. And only the napkin from the faceplate, as it were, removed, where Jesus came out. Jesus came out, most likely, through the faceplate. He dematerialized and just stepped out in resurrection glory. That's why, in one place it says, they saw and they believed. Why would it be so amazing just to see a pile of linen cloths? They saw something that could only have happened supernaturally. And they saw. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple and came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. Something that he saw suddenly caused him to believe. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, even though Jesus had explained it. Then the disciples went away to their own home. Now go with me to chapter 21. Let's continue the story. Jesus begins appearing in his resurrection glory in various times and in various places. And this is one account, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. So, you know, we see Jesus appearing here on this side of the country, suddenly appearing there. You know, in resurrection, you're not bound up in the limitations that we know of in our physical bodies. Evidently, you can, we call it dematerialize. I don't know what would be the proper term, but we know that Jesus actually walked through walls at one time. Scared the disciples. They're in there, and suddenly Jesus walks into the room and appears. Then he disappears. And he's in resurrection glory. But yet they could touch his physical body. He said, put your hands, put your fingers in the wounds. Feel the wound in my side. Those marks are still in his body. I want you to understand, Jesus didn't just kind of raise spiritually. He physically was raised from the dead. But yet his physical body is now a different type of body. It's something called a glorified body. Now, you know, when we receive our glorified bodies, I just believe we're going to look prettier. Amen. Some of us need to start claiming that ahead of time. Hallelujah. Get some resurrection glory ahead of time. But I'm telling you what, in the resurrection, you will not be limited like we are now in our mortal bodies. We'll have an immortal, glorified body that is capable of phenomenal things. Well, the disciples are discouraged. They're somewhat confused. And in verse 3, Simon Peter says unto them, I'm going to go fishing. Have you ever been discouraged and you just kind of go back to your favorite thing? You know, he was a fisherman. You know, if you were raised doing something else, you might just say, you know, I don't know about this. I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to my comfort zone. I'm comfortable fishing. I know fishing. I'm kind of depend on fishing. I don't know about this apostolizing stuff. I'm going to go back fishing. Well, Jesus appears and tells them where the fish are. And now go to verse 15. So when they had dined, they ate some of the fish, and Jesus ate. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's a good question, isn't it? Peter, do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than your business that you gave up? Could we ask ourselves that question today? Do you love Jesus more than fill in the blank? More than your money? More than your wife? More than your husband? More than your children? Jesus Himself challenged us and said, if you're not willing to leave wife and children, if you're not willing to leave house and home for my sake, there's something about death to self that we're all called to. Isn't that so? And Jesus is saying to Peter, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to them, and I want you to mark this in your Bible, feed my lambs. Well, if you really love me, the way you serve me is you help others. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. And he says to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He saith unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I'll be very honest with you. In my many years of walking with the Lord, I accepted the Lord, I guess, in about 1968, 69 in high school. And I can honestly say I have pursued the Lord since that time. Certainly not perfect. Made some mistakes. Had to cover my tracks with the blood of the Lord. Amen. But I don't have a testimony of backsliding and staying away from God. I really continue to walk with the Lord. And I've observed this about Christians. It's very easy to say, I love Jesus. It's another thing to get busy in the work of the Lord and serve His body. So many people will readily say, oh, I love Jesus. But they don't want to plug into a local church. They don't want to help in this department or that department. And Jesus would say to every one of us, if He were standing here, the same thing He said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, help them. Help them what? Help them walk with me. If they're going through a difficult time, then share with them what I would share with them. Believe in them, bringing them up to a higher level. Verse 17, He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, verse 18 is a very, very important verse. And I hope that you will mark this in your Bible. And I pray that even now the revelation power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you for verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another. Everybody say another. Another. Everybody say another. Another. Another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He's saying, Peter, when you were a little boy, when you were a little fella, you just did what you wanted to do. You skipped here and you skipped there and you played. You did what you wanted to do. It was your agenda. He said, but now that you're getting older and you know me, that time's over. You don't do what you want to do. Another will gird thee. Now, we know from history that Peter was crucified upside down. He was a martyr. And as they were preparing to crucify him, Peter said, I am not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. And so, do it upside down. He stretched forth his hands. Look at verse 18. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. No, it wasn't the soldiers that crucified Peter that were carrying him. It was the Holy Spirit. Because he submitted to that. He could have said, I deny Jesus at the point of crucifixion, but he didn't. He'd learned his lesson. And so Peter is being girded, being carried, being motivated by an entirely different force than what he'd known as a young man. And all of us have some of Peter in us, don't we? We want to do our own thing, have our own space, do what we want to do. And God comes to us and He says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to now gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. Jason, I know you don't want to pastor, but I'm calling you to pastor. I know you don't want to do this and your flesh is bucking up against it, but I'm calling you to follow me. And just like Peter, we are all being called to a point of crucifixion and resurrection. Can you say amen to that? That's a tough verse, but that's a verse we all need to learn from. Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, up to this point, you know, Peter's the only one being talked to, and all these other guys are standing around. And so Peter says, okay, if I'm going to have it so tough, what about this guy over here? Look at verse 20. Then Peter turned about and sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, what is he? Which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter said, seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? In other words, okay, if you're going to require that of me, how about John? What are you going to make him do? Notice what Jesus says. Can I just give you the Jason Peebles paraphrase? Don't mess in business where you don't got no business. Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus did not say, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee? May I just conclude by saying this? I believe the Lord is calling every one of us, and it's something we should be mindful every day of, but particularly when we partake of His communion and we celebrate Easter time or Resurrection Sunday, we should all be aware that there's some Peter in all of us. We've messed up, but we can start again. But that new start is going to be a different start. It's going to be a start where we're not now just doing what we want to do. We're going to do the will of God. You say, well, I can't do it. I'm not sure I can do it. None of us can. But you know what? By the power of His Holy Spirit, His Spirit will gird us and take us and carry us into the will of God. How many of you have that desire to follow Jesus, regardless of the cost? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the Word. We remember what Jesus has done for us. We remember that He's raised from the dead. And Lord, I pray that every one of us would be even as Peter, and we would submit to what you're calling us to do. Lord, when we were young, we did what we wanted to do. But now that we're older in the things of God, Lord, may we, by your grace, be girded by the power of the Holy Spirit to go where maybe our flesh doesn't want to go and do things that maybe our flesh doesn't really want to do. But we want to obey God and we want to follow Him and we want to feed the sheep, the lambs of God. We want to be about the Father's business. Could we all stand together?